Proclamation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And a leper approached him, did him homage, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." His leprosy was cleansed immediately. Then Jesus said, "See that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion approached and appealed, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." Jesus said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come here, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "You may go. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And at that very hour, his servant was healed. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today in the Gospel, we see the power of the Word of God and faith in that power. A leper approaches Jesus with the faith that if the Lord wishes, he could cleanse him from the disease that was eating away his flesh and ostracizing him from his family, from society, from the temple. Jesus said, "I do will it, be made clean." And he was. A little later, upon entering Capernaum, a Roman centurion approaches, asking him to heal his paralyzed, agonizing servant. But Jesus indicated he would go immediately. The centurion stopped him in his tracks and said, "Only say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus said that word, "You may go. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And the servant was healed at that instant. Only say the word. The word of Jesus has the power to cure lepers and paralytics. It has the power to cast out demons, to calm raging seas and howling winds, to get fishermen immediately to leave the biggest catch of their life and follow him for the rest of their lives, tax collectors to abandon their money on the tables. The word of God has the power to forgive sins, to change bread and wine into God, to raise little girls, only sons of widows, and people who have been in the tomb for 4 days from the dead. It is the power to create light and to make the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Do you have faith in that word? Both with a capital W, who the word is, and the small W, what that word says. Do we have faith like that leper or the centurion? Do we hunger for this word? Since, as Jesus says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth. Do we seek to build our life on that word? Jesus says that the one who listens to his words and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. Jesus wants us to be those who hear the word of God and do it, like his mother, who responded to God through the Archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation, with the motto of her life, "Let it be done to me according to your word." When Jesus challenges us with hard teachings, like he did the first disciples when he said that to have life they needed to gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood, he wants us to respond with faith like Peter's, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He wants us to recognize, like we pray in the Psalms, "Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." Respond, "Lord, teach me your way, that I may walk in your truth." Ultimately, he wants us to live in such a way that we will say, "Lord, only say the word, and I will believe it, love it, follow it, celebrate it, share it, and enflesh it." I mention all of these because it brings us to the heart of a new annual feast that the Catholic Church celebrates today for the first time, the Sunday of the Word of God. Pope Francis established today's feast last September 30th to accentuate the importance sacred scripture is meant to have in the faith, prayer, and lives of believers. He announced it intentionally on September 30th, the feast of Saint Jerome, the famous translator of the Bible from the Greek and Hebrew into Latin, then the common language of the people, the Vulgate, which we still sing at Mass. This year, the Church marks the 1600th anniversary of the death of St. Jerome, who was famous for emphasizing, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." Meaning, unless we're really deeply, intimately familiar with what Jesus said and did in the Gospel, how he fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament, how the apostles proclaimed him, we really don't know him. St. Jerome learned this lesson the hard way. He was a brilliant young student, traveling from master to master with other young scholars in the ancient world. But in one place he got deathly ill with a sickness that took the life of his companions. He thought he was going to die. Others thought he was going to die. But in his delirium, one night he had a dream. And in that dream, he appeared before the judgment seat of Christ. And he knew enough, because he was brilliant, that Jesus had once said, "If you acknowledge me before others, I will acknowledge you before my heavenly Father." And so Jerome in the dream says, "I am a Christian." And Jesus said, "No, you're not. You are a Ciceronian, because you know far more about that Roman orator and his writings than you do about me and what I've said." It struck Jerome to the core. He grasped that he didn't know Christ because he didn't know the scriptures. After he awoke and recovered, he resolved to pour his mind, heart, and time into the study and diffusion of the Word of God. Pope Francis is hoping that St. Jerome's example of converted zeal for the gift of sacred scripture will be contagious. In his decree establishing today's feast, Pope Francis said he hopes that it will help believers grow in religious and intimate familiarity with the sacred scriptures, so that we might appreciate the inexhaustible riches contained in that constant dialogue between the Lord and his people, that we might experience anew how the risen Lord opens up for us the treasury of his word and enables us to proclaim its unfathomable riches before the world, and marked by a decisive relationship with the living word, that we might grow in love and faithful witness. He hopes, in short, that today will be a day in which we celebrate the word, we can make a commitment to study it with zeal, and dedicate ourselves to sharing this gift. Pope Francis entitled the decree "Aperuit Illis," taken from the words of the gospel scene of Emmaus, describing how Jesus appeared unrecognized to the dejected disciples leaving Jerusalem and opened for them what referred to him in all the scriptures. Starting with Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained that it was not a contradiction of the prophecies in scripture that the Messiah would suffer and die,
But in fact, it was a confirmation of the Scriptures. They said later that their hearts were burning while Jesus spoke to them on the way and opened the Scriptures to them. The same Jesus who appeared to them and opened for them the deeper meaning of the Word of God wants to give us that same grace. He wants to ignite our hearts with love for His Word. But He needs us to rip off the asbestos. Recent surveys have underlined that the vast majority of Catholics, including Catholics who faithfully never miss Mass, who regularly go to confession, who live a moral life, and who pray, have a very weak relationship with the Word of God. During the 2008 Vatican Synod on the Word of God and the Life and the Mission of the Church, convened by Pope Benedict, an international survey was conducted that showed that even though 93% of Catholic adults own a Bible, this is in eight different countries, including the United States, that even though 93% of Catholic adults own a Bible at home, and the average household has three copies, only 1 in 30 read the Bible each day, and only 1 in 14 read it at all during a given week. 44% of Catholics said that they rarely or never read the Bible. 80% confessed that the only time they come into contact with the Word of God is when they hear it proclaimed at Mass. So while the average American spends 6 to 8 hours a day watching television or streaming on devices, 29 out of 30 do not take even 1 minute, even 1 second to read the Word of God. A 2010 survey on religious knowledge by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life revealed that atheists and agnostics, not to mention Protestant Jews and Mormons, had a much greater grasp of the books of the Old and New Testaments and key biblical figures than Catholics do. What is the first book of the Bible? Only 42% of Catholics knew Genesis. What are the four Gospels? Only 33% of Catholics could name them. In multiple choice questions, in which the right answer was in front of Catholics as one of only four options, only 54% could pick out Bethlehem as Jesus' birthplace. Only 55% Abraham as the father who nearly sacrificed his son Isaac. Only 25% Job as the figure associated with enormous suffering. The biblical questions posed by the Pew survey didn't concern trivial matters, that those who might have a strong grasp of the content of the Bible might easily miss. They were designed so that those familiar with the central content should readily have been able to get them. Failure, however, to be able to identify the book of Genesis implies an ignorance of the revealed truths about the creation of the world and about the human person. The inability to name the gospel writers seems to indicate a general lack of familiarity with what they wrote of Jesus. Anyone who has ever read the book of Job could never forget the story or the name of the central figure. The inability to identify the most dramatic moment in the life of Abraham implies a general ignorance of the common father of faith of every monotheist on the planet, and the incapacity of more than a third of Catholics to recognize Moses from a lineup suggests that they have never spent much time thinking about the central event of the Old Testament or seen Charlton Heston on the big screen. From the point of view of faith formation, these failures are the equivalent of Americans failing to know the first letter of the alphabet, the names of the four seasons, and the location of the nation's capital. not to mention being unable to distinguish between George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Martin Luther King from a multiple choice lineup. The results were a clear illustration of a general biblical illiteracy among Catholics that must be remedied. That's why Pope Benedict called a synod on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church in 2008, after which he gave us a beautiful exhortation, Verbum Domini. That's why Pope Francis has established today's feast, because we need it desperately. I want to make a few points based on Pope Francis' hopes for today. First is that he wants us to celebrate the gift of the Word of God. During the 2008 Synod on the Word of God, there was a bishop from Latvia named Anton Justs who gave an unforgettable 5-minute speech. He described a priest, Father Victor's, from his diocese, who was arrested by the Soviets for possessing the Bible. They threw it on the ground and they commanded him to step on it. Instead, he dropped to his knees and he kissed it. And for doing so, he was sent to a Siberian labor camp for 10 years. A decade later, he returned, emaciated, looking 50 years older. And they asked him, "What would you like to do?" He said, "I've been waiting for 10 years to celebrate Mass with you." And when it came to the celebration of Mass, he proclaimed the gospel. And at the end of the gospel, he held up the Evangeliarium, said Verbum Domini, and kissed it again. And everybody wept copiously for several minutes. Father Victor's wasn't alone in his testimony. Bishop Justs said to the bishops assembled in Rome, "In Latvia during the Soviet era, no religious books, no holy scriptures, no catechisms were allowed to be printed. The reasoning was, if there is no printed word of God, there will be no religion. So our Latvian people did what the first Christians did. They learned the passages of the holy scriptures by heart. One took the first book of chapter of Genesis and read it, and then learned 2, and then learned 3. And others split up the book, and they constantly kept teaching each other the chapters of the Bible until many of the Latvians knew whole books or whole testaments by heart." Specifically with regard to celebration, Bishop Justs recounted, "Still today in Latvia, there's an oral tradition alive. We stand on the shoulders of our martyrs to proclaim the word of God. Our grandchildren remember their grandmothers and grandfathers who died for the faith. They want to be, in their turn, heroes of faith. In Latvia, we proclaim the living word of God. We go in processions and on pilgrimage. We sing songs and we pray and say, 'This is the word of God for which our grandparents died.'" People learning sacred scripture by heart, taking the Bible on pilgrimages, proudly proclaiming the word of God, and seeking to be heroes and witness to it. This is what the Catholic Church is meant to be, and not just in Latvia. This is the type of celebration and faith Pope Francis, by establishing today's feast, is trying to catalyze. Second point Pope Francis wants us to ponder is studying sacred scripture with zeal. About a decade ago, I was at T.F. Green Airport in Providence, Rhode Island. It was the days before TSA pre-check. So after taking off my shoes and my belt and basically everything else, I was putting Humpty Dumpty back together. And as I looked up, I saw another priest dressed in black. It's really strange to find other priests dressed as priests in airports. I don't know why, because I hear so many confessions in airports and even on planes. But there he was. So I waited for him, introduced myself. His name was Father Bob from Cleveland, and invited him to lunch if he had time. He said he did. So we went to this Barros over there at TF Green Airport. We got to the cashier, and the young girl said, one bill or two? I said, one. At which point, Father Bob said, no, please let me pay for my own. I said, no, Bob, when I'm in Cleveland, you can pick up the tab. Please let me pick it up here. And then he retorted, Sirach says we should go Dutch. At which point I looked at him, smiled, and said, the Last Supper wasn't a Dutch feast, and Jesus said we're supposed to love as he loves, so I'm paying. So we picked up the bill, we went to sit down, but I was a little flustered. So as soon as we had prayed grace, I said, Bob, were you making that stuff up about Sirach? Oh no, he said very earnestly, and he opened up his backpack, took out a very worn Bible, and no word of a lie, opens it to exactly Sirach 43. And then in verse 2, reads me, when you're on a journey, share the expenses. I said, Bob, that's pretty impressive. How'd you get to know sacred scripture that well? And he told me that when he was making his retreat prior to being ordained a deacon, he made a promise that he would read the Bible once a year. And he was about to celebrate his 25th priestly anniversary, which meant he had now been going through sacred scripture 26 times. And he said, after so many times through sacred scripture, you begin to know what God's word says about restaurant bills. I asked him, how long does it take you? He says, about 12 to 15 minutes a day. To read the entire Bible only takes 75 hours. If you break it down a little bit a day, depending upon the size of the individual passage, you don't want to break it up in the middle of the verse, but 12 to 15 minutes a day, you'll read the entire Bible. From that day, over 10 years ago, I made a resolution to imitate Father Bob in this good priestly practice, this good Christian practice. And it really has helped me in my life as a disciple and as an apostle. What about you? Back in 2003, I was doing a pilgrimage I was doing this Voitian set of studies with a whole bunch of young adults from New York and the Catskills. We would study some of St. John Paul II's writings in the morning, and then we'd go hiking or swimming in the mountains in the afternoon. It was a lot of fun. There was a girl who used to work on Wall Street who was getting married in 6 weeks. Her name was Johanna from Philadelphia, originally. And she had been a revert to the Catholic faith, and she said, Father, what should be on my Catholic bucket list? And the first thing I said to her was, Joanna, I think you should at least read the Bible once in your life. And then I said to her some other things. 3 weeks later, I got a phone call. It was Joanna. Hi, Father Roger. Hi, Joanna. I just wanted to tell you that I did it. But Joanna was preparing to get married 3 weeks later. And I have to say that my first thought of what the it meant that she had done was not holy. I said, did what, Joanna? She said, I read it. I'm a writer. I thought she may have read one of my writings. Read what, Joanna? I read the Bible. And then somewhat patronizingly, I said, that's awesome, Joanna, that you've started to read the Bible. I'm really proud of you. She said, no, I've finished the Bible. I said, what? Since the time we were together, she says, yes, I figured that the greatest gift I could give my fiancé, Jonathan, was God. And I asked myself, how could I give him God? And I said, well, at least I could read his word. So she said all her free time she dedicated in preparation for marriage to reading the word of God. In 3 weeks, working on Wall Street, like most of the workaholics on Wall Street. Think about that. In June, I was out in Chicago, preaching a retreat day for the Catholic Medical Association for med students. And as part of that retreat day, I mentioned the importance that the Word of God should have in our life. After one of these med students from St. Louis sent me a little email thanking me for the retreat, she said, I just want to let you know, 15 of us from different medical schools all over the country, we've started a WhatsApp group. We're going to read the Bible together and we're going to share our insights over that WhatsApp group every day. And I checked with her, actually, because she was just proposed to last night. I checked with her, and they're now 7 months in to keeping this commitment faithfully, all 15 of them. Last week, I was preaching a retreat day to consecrated women up in Rhode Island. At the end of that retreat day, they all made the commitment this year, the 1600th anniversary of the birth into eternal life of St. Jerome, that they would read the whole Bible together as a community. What about you? What about you? If you watch one half-hour program on television a night, if you just give that up and read the Word of God instead, you will finish the entire Bible in 6 months. Pope Francis is appealing to all of us to do so. This morning, in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, he said, "Brothers and sisters, let us make room inside ourselves for the Word of God. Each day, let us read at least a verse or two of the Bible. Let's begin with the Gospel. Let us keep it open on our table. Carry it in our pocket or bag. Read it on our cell phones. And allow it to inspire us daily. We will discover that God is close to us, that He dispels our darkness, and with great love leads our lives into deep waters." The final point, which I'll make briefly, is that Christ calls us to go to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. But we can only give what we have to share the word of God with others, so that their hearts might burn, begins with our hearts burning and our minds knowing this word. Our holiness, the success of our life, depends to a large degree on our knowledge of sacred scripture. Don't take my word for it. Take St. John Paul II's. When he wrote his pastoral plan for the third Christian millennium in 2001, he focused on six pillars in the training of Christians for sanctity. The first four will be of no surprise to you. God's grace, because everything begins with God. Prayer, Mass, and confession. But the fifth and the sixth may surprise you. He said the fifth is listening to the Word of God, hearing it and heeding it. And then sixth, sharing that Word. For us to become holy, we need to hang on every word that comes from God's mouth. And we need to share that gift with the words we say to others. Lord, only say the Word. If ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, intimate familiarity with the Word of God will help us not only to know the inspired words, but the Word made flesh so much better. Today's inaugural Sunday of the Word of God is a grace-filled occasion to make resolutions, to celebrate, zealously learn, and eagerly share this gift. If we do, then what happened on the road to Emmaus will happen in the very paths we walk. And like in Emmaus, as Jesus led them from the verbum domini to the verbum caro factum est, it will help us to recognize him so much more easily in the breaking of the bread we're about to experience. Lord, only say the word. You have the words of eternal life. Amen.